I just want to say at the beginning that I love you guys. Y'all are my favorites, and it's going to be a good day. All right. Today is going to be a tough one, and it's been beating me up all week, and so I want to share the love on that one. So, so honor. We define honor as to assign at a high value, to respect, and to see as valuable. And our key scripture we're using is Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And I believe this kind of defines the life of honor as far as putting others above yourself. And in the world we live in today, that's not always easy because we're taught somehow growing up that, it's every man for themselves. You know, if you want to get somewhere in life, then you got to get out there and earn it and step on people and do whatever to make it. And that's not the way that God's kingdom works. God's kingdom is all about people. God loves people. Aren't you glad? Because He loves you in that. And He gave a very high price to honor you. And so today we're going to be talking about honoring people. And so let's dive into this today about honoring people. Why should we honor people? See, there's so many people out there that are so dishonoring, so disrespectful, that they don't deserve honor. And I'll agree with you on that. So why should we honor people when they don't deserve it? Well, let's look at some scripture and talk about why we need to honor people. In Romans chapter 5, verse 6, we're going to start. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came just at the right time and died for our sin. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, God honored us when we didn't deserve it. When we were completely against Him, we were in our sin. Some of us might have even been bad-mouthing God. Yet He still died for you while you were acting like that. And so God looked past our actions, our words. God looked past the exterior of our life. And He looked at the inside of us and He saw potential. He saw how He made us to be. And that's what He honored in us. Because we don't deserve the honor that Christ gave us on the cross. And so He saw our potential. And so as we talk about honoring people, we've got to learn to look past their actions, look past their words, look past the exterior of who they are, and look to see who God made them to be. Because someone saw the potential in you enough to share the gospel with you. We need to learn to look past other people's stuff at their potential and see that they're worthy of sharing the gospel with as well. And this is what the life of honor comes down to, is that we're willing to humble ourselves, to put others' interest above our own, and be able to willingly serve them and honor them so that they can experience what Christ did for them. Because so many people are turned off by dishonoring, disrespectful Christians. And when we act like that, we are not honoring God because we're misrepresenting Him. And people a lot of times look at Christians and the way they live and say, if that's the way God is, I don't want any part of it. And I don't blame them. And so the life of honor is all about representing who God is and beginning to think and see people as He sees them. Because most people don't deserve honor. They don't deserve respect. But we still need to invest that in their lives so they can experience what God is all about. Now, this is going to be one of the toughest sermons that I've ever done. Number one, it's beat me up all week. And God's really been working on me. And it's the toughest thing because, like I said, people don't deserve honor. but neither do we. And so, who are we to honor in this life? Who is it that God says that we need to honor? We've talked about honoring God. We've talked about honoring ourselves. Now we're going to be talking about honoring other people. A lot of the stuff I'm going to say today, you might possibly disagree with. And I'm okay with that. I'm going to give scripture to back up what I'm talking about. You might even get mad at me because of some of the stuff I'm going to say today. And I'm okay with that. You have the right to disagree. But I want you to look into God's word and see what God says about it and form your opinions on that. Okay? Not just because I said it, but I want you to study in it yourself. Because the Bible gives us a lot of hard things to do in this life. A lot of things that go against our very nature of who we are. It might even go against our own opinions. But if we're going to be Christians, if we want to be Christ-like, if we want to live lives that honor God, then we need to learn to dive into what He says. Okay? So we're going to talk about three different groups. I've just kind of grouped them in three different on people that we need to honor. Number one is we need to honor authority. We need to honor authority. The second group we're going to talk about is honoring our peers, people on the same level as us. The third group we're going to talk about is honoring those entrusted to us or those who are under us. Now, if you kind of keep track on that, who does that exclude? It doesn't exclude anybody, does it? We need to honor, God wants us to honor everybody. Well, what about those people who are dishonorable, who are disrespectful? That's where it gets tough. But we're going to talk about that. Before we dive into this, I'm going to show you how we're going to honor people today. And I got this great acrostic. You know it's from God when it lines up like that into a nice little word. The word we're going to work with today is RIP. We honor people by RIP. And I don't mean rest in peace. We don't kill them to honor them. But what we're going to use here today with RIP is respect, invest, and pray. We honor people by being respectful to them. Well, those people are just so disrespectful. How could I even... God calls us to be the bigger person. God calls us to a different level. We need to learn to be respectful of all people. We don't necessarily have to respect all people, but we need to be respectful of all people. We need to learn to invest in them. When you invest in something, you add value to it. You help it to grow. And to honor people, we need to invest. And the last thing is to pray, which I think is the most important thing that we need to do for everybody, is to pray. Because when you pray, you activate God, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, in their lives. And He is able to do something in their lives when we pray. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. So we need to be praying for people. All right, so let's dive into this. Again, I just want to say I love you guys. I'm giving this to you in a heart of love, in a heart that it is going to be challenging today, but I believe you can handle it. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, y'all are with me. I can at least start with you with me. All right, so let's talk about honoring authority. See, God is the ultimate authority. All authority flows from God. Nobody has authority in this life without God giving it to them. Romans chapter 13. Like I said, I'm going to try to give scripture for all of this I'm saying today. So if you're going to get mad at anybody, get mad at God for what He wrote in the Bible, okay? Romans 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in those people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of authorities? will do what is right, and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants, sent here for your good. But if you're doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants, sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them. Do not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. So first off, we need to learn to honor authority, in which God gives all authority. Okay? And the first authorities that we actually see in the Bible, we see God creating everything. He places Adam and Eve in the garden, and he tells them, says, this is yours to keep, to manage. It's under your control. All right? And so the first people who are under authority of people are who? Adam and Eve's kids are the first people who are under authority of people. Adam and Eve are under the authority of God. And then Adam and Eve's kids are the first people who are under authority of people. So the first one we want to look at today are parents. Parents. I believe that is the second highest authority that God has instituted in this. And so that we must honor our parents. Now, this isn't just a message to the kids in the room today. This is to all of us in the room. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and your mother, things will go well for you and you will live long on the earth. Now, let me take a quick poll. Who wants to... for things to go well with them and live long on the earth today. Anybody? 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 Okay, there's a few hands up. Okay. This is how this happens, is that you honor your parents. And I understand that some of y'all don't have the best parents in the world. And I understand that. They might have done lots of things wrong. But we are still to honor our parents. Even though they might not have done honorable things, we are still to honor them. We're still to be respectful towards them. We're still to invest in them. Now, the invest part of this is probably the hardest thing to do with authorities, because lots of times you can't really add much value to an authority. But there is one way that you add value to authorities in your life, and that is by doing what they ask you to do, by doing the right thing. All right? See, we add value to God. Did you know you can add value to God? You add value to God when you obey what He asked you to do. Because you are shedding light on Him in a good way. You are bringing glory to His name by doing what you are supposed to do. And so we honor God. We talked about this first week. We honor God with our obedience. Because we bring glory to Him, because we're glorifying Him with our lives. And it's that's the way we add value to authority, is that we add value to our parents by acting right in public. Right? All the parents out there, amen? Okay, all right. When your kids are acting up in public, like they're making me look bad. And so we add value to our parents by doing what they taught us to do, doing what is right. And so we are to be respectful. We are to invest in them. We are to pray for our parents. Your parents need prayer. Teenagers, your parents need prayer. They need God's guidance. I know that as a parent, I need guidance. I don't know what I'm doing. God, help me. And so we can invest in our parents through prayer. What are some other authorities in our lives? There's political authorities. There's civil authorities, such as the police. We're to honor the police. Our bosses, spiritual leaders, teachers, coaches. We could go on and on about different authorities in our lives. And God has called us to honor them all. God has called us to rip them all. Respect, invest, and pray. And I want to dive into one today that I feel very strongly about, that so many Christians are so dishonoring in this area, that I believe that it's leaving a very bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And this is in politics. Now, I was taught that there's two things that you don't talk about in public. And that's religion and politics. And so we're going to cover both of those today. And it's going to be good. But I hate to get on Facebook or get in a conversation with someone where someone is constantly dishonoring in the political realm. That they have nothing good to say. And I understand that because there's lots of things in politics that I don't agree with. There's a lot of things in politics that I'm totally against that's going on. And I understand that. But we're still called to honor our authorities. In 1 Timothy, we see Paul talking to the young pastor in Timothy. And he says this. He says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks to them. That is the P in what we're talking about today, in honor with prayer. It says, pray this way for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. And so you see why, right here, why we need to honor authority. Why we need to be praying for authority in our lives. Because God wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So many people are turned off by the truth, by the way that we dishonor in our lives. And we're turning people away from the faith because they don't see any difference between us and them. And they say, what's the point? God is doing nothing. There's no point in this. And so we have to be careful. And politics is one of these areas where a lot of people want to separate their Christian beliefs and their political beliefs. And see, I don't think you can do that. Because let me tell you something. We are Christians before we are Americans. We are Christians before we are Americans. And so I believe our Christian beliefs should be more powerful and hold more weight in our lives than our political beliefs. Okay? Now, I'm not going to get in talking about parties and all that stuff. That is not the point. The point is that we need to live honorable lives when it comes to politics. See, as Americans, we have lots of freedoms. We have, you know, the right to bear arms. We have the freedom of religion, which we're so grateful for. We have the freedom of speech, that we can say what we want to say about the government without fearing repercussion from the government. And see, so many people, so many Christians take their American rights and freedoms and they dishonor God with them. Because I don't believe as Christians that we necessarily have the freedom of speech to say whatever we want to say about anybody, and it's okay. Because God has called us to a higher standard. And so while I don't agree with everything that's going on in our government, a lot of the policies that are going into place, that doesn't mean I have the right to dishonor the men and women who are putting those in place. I have the right to disagree. I have the right to speak out against these issues that are going through. I have the right to protest. I have those rights. As a Christian, I believe I'm okay in doing those things. But I don't believe that we should dishonor the man or the woman who is putting those in place. I don't think we have that right. Because God calls us to honor authority. Now, we have the right to vote them out next time around. But for me to stand up here and bash somebody who's in politics because I don't agree with them is wrong. I'm telling you, man, this is a fun sermon today. But it's the truth. And I mean, it just jumps all over me. And this is my soapbox for this morning, okay? It just jumps all over me to get on Facebook and see people bashing our president. Amen. Amen. You can get on there and disagree with the policies. You can get in there and disagree with all that stuff. But when you begin to make fun of and dishonor the man, I believe you're wrong at this point. And I know that's not popular, but I believe that's Bible. See, as we read in Romans 13, it's God who places people in authority. And I'm going to make a statement that most people are going to disagree with. I believe that God placed our president in position. For what reason, I don't know. But I believe, according to God's word, that he is placed there by God. And for me to dishonor the authority that God has placed would be wrong for me to do. When it comes to politics, a lot of Christians put aside their Christian beliefs. They don't line up. See, how can I, in good conscience, vote for somebody that goes against what I believe the Bible teaches? How in the world can I do that? I cannot separate my Christian belief and my political belief. I just can't do it. I can't. Okay, that's my soapbox. I'm off of it. So we need to honor authority. We need to honor the police. I got pulled over a few weeks ago. I was driving back from Mountain View to Batesville. And I saw this cop coming from way back, you know, in between Mountain View and Locust Grove. There's those long stretches. And I could see him coming. So I thought, I'll get out of his way. He's going somewhere. And I pull over and he pulls in behind me. Next thing I know, two other cops are like, poof, right on top of me. And I'm like, what in the world? And so when he came up to the window, I respectfully said, yes, sir. What can I do? What can I do for you? Apparently someone accused me of drunk driving or something. I don't know. He looked at me and said, oh, we've got the wrong guy. Sorry. And went away. But I was very respectful of that. Like, really? I mean, I could have got ugly, but I didn't. We need to respect our civil authorities, our bosses, spiritual leaders, all of those different things. We need to honor the authority in our lives. All right, moving along. The next group that we're going to talk about is honoring our peers, honoring those who are on the same level as us. This includes a lot of people, our spouses, our coworkers, our friends, our enemies, our frenemies, our fellow drivers, complete strangers. It could be a huge list. We are to honor them. We are to rip them. Not a new one. That one slipped out. I apologize. We are to respect them. Be respectful. To invest. To add value to them. To pray for these people. Lord, help us all. Let's talk about spouses for a second. Oh, help us, Lord. We're to be respectful to our spouses. We're to add value to them. We're to pray for them. Ephesians chapter 5. Again, we see Paul talking to the church of Ephesus about the marriage relationship. Verse 21, it says, and furthermore, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means you submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of his body. Now, my wife asked me, are you going to tell me to submit to you today? And I said, yes, ma'am, I am. She's not here. So I can say these things. It's going to be good. Where was I at here? He's the Savior of the body. Verse 24. As the church submits to Christ, so wives must submit to your husbands in everything. Husbands, this means for you to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. And I started with verse 21 because I believe the marriage is a mutual submission. All right, it's not just one person submitting to the other person, but it's a mutual thing. But I believe in this submission, They submit in different ways to each other. All right, and I believe that it clearly says that right here in Ephesians about how we are to submit to each other. I'm not sure why he started with the wives, but he did, so that's where we're going to start. So this means to submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. How do we submit ourselves to God? See, when we come to God, we say, God, I cannot do this on my own, and I give you my everything. Everything that is mine is yours. All right? So this is the way that wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. Now, trust me, ladies, this is going to get a lot worse for the guys, so this is easy. It says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body, the church. So just as the church submits to Christ, so wives submit to your own husbands in everything. All right? I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm going to roll on. Because I believe where we really need help is with the husbands and their submission to the marriage relationship. Amen. I got some people agreeing with me again. Yes. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. So, guys, we are supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Do you understand the responsibility and the what is behind all of that? Because let me tell you something, guys. If you love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, your wife will willingly submit to you. If you could submit to the marriage relationship like Christ did, your wife's going to have no trouble with it. She will willingly submit to you. Now, ladies, if your husband doesn't act like Christ in the church, you still need to submit. Because that's what honor is about. Because that's what Christ called you to do. You can't do anything about your husband. You already know that. You are to submit no matter what he does. Guys, you're to love your wives no matter what she does. That is our calling. So how did Christ give his life? What does this look like for guys? How did Jesus submit? Let's read this in Matthew chapter 20, verse 25. It says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and the officials flaunt their authorities over those under them. That sounds like a lot of husbands that I know. But Jesus said, but among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be the leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. We see right here how Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. He instituted this thing called servant leadership. To where, yes, he is the leader, but he does it in a different way. He's not one just up there bossing and telling people what to do and causing a big scene. But he does it in coming in and serving the very people that he's leading. And it's a concept that is not known at this point until Jesus modeled it for us. But as husbands, we are to come in and serve our families. Now, I'm not saying that you are to be the slaves and just do whatever your wife tells you to do. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is for you as the man, as the leader, to come in and add value to your family. See, I see too many households where the kids are in control of the house. And you are not being the leader at that point. See, you as the leader are there to guide your family. You are there to invest in your family. You are there to instruct and discipline your children. But you do it in a way that you're adding value to them. That you're being respectful to them. and that you're always praying for your family. See, guys, if we could get a hold of this servant leadership in our home, because I understand this is a lesson that I've been learning the past several years about how to serve my family. Because in my life, I didn't realize this, but when I was single, I was very selfish. Very selfish. When I got married, I had to get rid of some of that selfishness. I had to learn to think of my wife, to put what she likes above mine sometimes. When I had my first kid, I had to sacrifice a lot of selfishness again. All of a sudden, I don't get to sleep anymore. I don't get to eat the same time as my family. You know what I'm talking about. As parents, there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into raising kids. When I had my second kid, all the rest of the selfishness has gone out of me now. I'm just kidding. I wish I could say that. But I had to kill more of me in order to invest in my family. See, when I come home from work, I'm tired. I want to sit down in front of the TV and veg for about an hour. I don't get to do that. When I come home, my wife has been with the kids all day. I take the kids and I entertain them so my wife can rest. I serve, I invest in her that way. I help cooking meals. I help cleaning dishes. I help her with the household stuff. Am I her slave? No. But I do it to bring value to my family. Because it's the man's job, the husband's job, to be the servant leader of the household. It is up to you. It's on your shoulders of where your family goes. I believe you need to have goals for your family. I believe you need a direction that your family is going. I believe that you need to be investing in your children, teaching your children. You need to be the spiritual leader of your family. See, guys, if we can live this life out, our wives will gladly submit to that, just as they submitted their lives to Christ. So we need to be respectful with our families. We need to be adding value. We need to be investing and praying for our families. So what are some other peers that we need to invest in, that we need to honor? We said it, co-workers, friends, enemies, fellow drivers, strangers. We need to be honoring people. See, there's some people that are hard to honor because they're very dishonoring, very disrespectful people. But see, like I said, God has called us to a higher standard. See, there's this thing out there called the crazy cycle. And I stole this from somebody. This is not my ideas, but the crazy cycle. What happens is someone dishonors or disrespects us. So what do? We disrespect them. Someone says something ugly about us, so we say something ugly about them. So they say something ugly about us, so we say something ugly about them. Make up rumors. And we get in this cycle of dishonor, disrespect, unloving behavior. And at some point, someone has to break the cycle and step up and say, I'm going to honor this person even though they're dishonoring me. Even though they're disrespecting me, I'm going to be respectful to them. And I believe as Christians, this is what God is calling us to. Because if you read in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says lots of hard stuff in there. He says, love your enemies. Pray for those people who use you and are against you. He said, if someone takes your shirt, give them your coat as well. Go the extra mile with people. See, these are the things that we're talking about as far as honoring. Someone might be doing something negatively to hurt you. But as a person living the life of honor, steps out of the crazy cycle, says, I don't care if you dishonor me or not. I'm going to be respectful to you. I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to pray for you. And see, that's what we were reading here in Timothy. Why do we do this? Because this is good and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and understand the truth. See, our whole mindset, our whole goal in life should be that statement. We want everybody to be saved and to understand the truth. But see, when we're living outside of the truth, then we're not leading people to Christ to be saved. And so this life of honor that we're talking about begins to get people's attention. Why are you so respectful towards me? And I love doing this. I love calling people sir and ma'am, of course. But a lot of guys are like, oh, don't call me sir. You know, Mr. So-and-so is my dad. Yes, sir. And it's a sign of honor towards these people. And even though a lot of people don't like being called sir or mister or miss, it's a sign of honor to those people. And even though they're kind of pushing it away and rejecting it, they still love it. They still like it. And so I love doing that to people. You know, hello, mister. How are you today? Oh, don't call me that. Okay. Yes, sir. I won't. Mister. But it's just a sign of honor. Some things that we need to do that we can show that Christ looks past our junk, looks past our problems, looks past our attitudes, looks past our actions and words, and looks at the heart of who we are, the heart of who God made us to be. See, God sees potential in every single person. He knows what they can be. And we need to have that same mindset in us. And it's not easy to see people that way. But we need to have that same mindset in us when people are coming against us and being ugly towards us, that we can step back and say, okay, there's something going on in this person's life that they need Christ. And there's this phrase that I heard a few years back, and I can't remember where I heard it, but it goes like this. It says, hurting people hurt people. Hurting people hurt people. That's all they know how to do. They are hurt on the inside, and that's all that they know to give is hurt to other people. And if we can see past people's hurts and see who they are and see their needs and invest in them, we can begin to slowly, with God's help, work them through their hurts to where they can see what Christ has for them. And that's what it's about right there. That's what it's all about. So we need to honor authority. We need to honor our peers, and we need to honor those entrusted to us or those people who are below us. The ones that came to my mind with this is our children. If you are a boss, if you own a business, your employees, the people that you manage, we need to learn to respect, to invest, and to pray for those people who are under us. And I just want to talk about kids real quick. I mean, this is, you know, huge in my life right now because I have a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old. And so a lot of my attention right now is going into them and to training them and to bringing them to people that I want them to be. They say that most of everything that kids set their life on, they learn by the age of 5. And so I see it as one of my most important jobs right now to be investing in my kids, to instill in them God's truth. I love it. The other day, Ella was playing, and she loves playing dolls and dress up and all that stuff. And she came in there the other day. I was in there doing something in the kitchen, and she rolled one of her little babies in there and says, "My baby's sick. Her throat hurts." And I said, "Well, Ella, did you pray for her yet?" She's like, "Oh, no." And she got down there and prayed the sweetest little prayer over her baby doll. And I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I was just, you know, did you pray? And just trying to plant that thought in her mind. And I went back to doing what I was doing. I just listened to her pray, and I thought, wow. I mean, just the Bible talks about, you know, being like a child, you know, having the childlike faith. I was like, wow. You know, and that's what it's about. And just those little moments to where we can invest in our kids. You know, we need to be respectful to our kids. You know, a lot of teenagers are very disrespectful. But still, in the same manner, we need to show them how to respect by respecting them. We need to show them what it means to invest in people, to add value to people by adding value to them, by teaching them, by showing them how to live right. And we constantly need to be praying for our children. Constantly. Our kids face way more than what we ever did when we were in school. I mean, so much more. I mean, it wasn't that long ago I was in school. And I look in these lives of these teenagers and see what they face. I'm like, my life was easy compared to that. And so we need to be praying for our kids. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and the instruction that comes from the Lord. And that is our job as parents, is to bring them up with discipline and the instruction that comes from God. I hate to hear people say that, well, I'm just going to let my kids decide what they're going to believe. My word, you know how fast the enemy is going to jump on that and put everything in their life to teach them the wrong things? See, if you truly believe that God is real and His Word is truth, why would you not put that in your kids' lives? If you're not putting God's Word in your kids' lives, I question if you truly believe that God, if the Bible is God's Word. Because if you know the truth, that's what you're going to be putting in your kids' lives. It is our job as parents to be the spiritual leaders of our kids. Unfortunately, so many people relegate that to the church. I bring my kids to church so you can teach them about God. And I understand that because it can be very intimidating to teach your kids about God. You're afraid you're going to teach them the wrong thing or whatever. I understand that. But we have your kids for an hour or two every week. They're in your care every single day. They're watching you. They're listening to you. We teach our kids more by the way we act and by what we say than you would ever realize. So we need to be bringing up our children with discipline and instruction of the Lord. See, God calls us to honor everybody, whether they deserve honor, if they deserve respect or not. God calls us to that. He calls us to be respectful towards all people. He calls us to invest, to add value to people. He calls us to pray, which is the ultimate way you can add value to somebody, is to pray for them. And that's what God is calling us to. See, next week's going to be a lot easier on you, I promise. Today was very weighty stuff. But see, next week we're going to talk about the life of honor. And what we're going to talk about is how can you bring honor upon yourself? Because honor and respect are not something that you can demand from somebody, but it's something that you earn. And so we're going to talk next week about how do we get to the place to where we deserve honor and respect in our life. How do we live the life of honor? Because all of us want to be respected. All of us want to be loved. All of us want to be honored in our life. Next week we're going to talk about that. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you, God, so much that you have modeled what it is to honor people. Because you honored us through Christ at the cross. Even while we were yet sinners, even while we might have been talking bad about you, persecuting Christians, God, you still loved us and saw the potential in us that you sent your Son Jesus for us. God, I pray that we could have that same heart in us to where we can see others the way you see us. That we can see others the way that you see them. God, in their potential. God, I pray most of all that our heart is centered around what you are all about. And that is everyone coming to salvation. Everyone coming to know the truth of who you are. God, I thank you that as we live the life of honor, God, as we take a step above what the world tells us, what the world shows us, God, and live the life of honor, God, that people will see you in that. God, because you are the author of all honor and all respect. God, thank you so much for using us. God, I thank you that you continue to work in our hearts. God, whether people disagreed with me today, whether they got mad at me because of something I said, God, I pray that your word is alive and it is active and it is working in their hearts. God, reveal your word to us. God, show us what you need us to see. God, change our hearts. Change our lives today. God, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here today. You're dismissed.